How amazing. The scriptures we'll be using today are from the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. We're going to begin in Romans chapter 8, reading verses 5 through 8. Romans 8, 5 through 8. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let us pray. Lord, these words seem almost impossible, but yet through you they are. Forgive us, Lord, when we do not subject our mind to your will, that we go about our business with our religious jackets on and our easy believism, when the whole time you have the kingdom waiting on us. Help us to change. Help me to change. Bless your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As God's word says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, that's a tough verse for someone that's being honest with themselves. Two Sundays ago, Pastor Chris may have delivered one of the most important sermons. He may not even realize it, but it was. We all needed to hear it. He even said it was for him. And so maybe today this sermon is for me. And I pray that it is for some of you. He talked about how we think. You know, we live in some crazy times. There are temptations everywhere we turn, and everything seems to attempt to influence our thinking. It is this cacophony. Almost, it is battle. Battle royale it is. Whether it's politics or the news or social media or television, commercials, academia, you go on and on and on. They're constantly trying to influence our thinking. But those who profess to be in Christ are in a unique position. We are to think differently than the world, or literally translated in Romans, there means the age, the current age. We're to think differently than this current age. Differently than our carnal flesh tells us, or differently than the world tries to tell us how and what to think. Even our self-will and emotions are to be in subjection to Christ. We are called to think as Jesus himself. And for those in Christ, Paul says that we have the mind of Christ. Now I want you to think of that. I don't know about you, but my mind seems inadequate. My flesh and my mind both betray me quite often. How about you? See, those in Christ are not called to live a carnal life with carnal mind control. We are called, we are instructed to renew our mind so that it comes under the subjection of the Lord, so that we may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Now, we all have our moments. I certainly have mine. My wife could tell you. I heard that, Robert. We all have our moments, but those who pull out the camper and get out the Chinese lanterns and set up camp there, hook up the camper, they're in trouble because they will consistently and constantly lead a defeated life. Does God want us to lead a defeated life? No, he says we're victorious. That seems impossible for those who choose to live their life in the flesh. These easy believisms, as one famous author calls them, who cling to their carnal lives and all things wrapped in a religious jacket. But beloved, to those who are willing, who will enter the process, because it is a process, can and will renew their minds and bring their mind, their will and emotions into subjection to Christ. This is a spiritually minded person. This is the process of sanctification. This we are called to do. Now see, sanctification does not happen instantaneously. It's not like our justification or our glorification, which will happen in the twinkling of an eye, or our justification is we came to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. Sanctification is a process. But here's the problem. The church celebrates the act of becoming saved and the future glorification of our bodies, but we fail to celebrate our continuing process of sanctification. Amen. Because it is so difficult, we don't want to go there. And the body of Christ and the people who make up the body of Christ suffer for it. Many will honor what God has done, but fight against what God is doing now. We must learn to focus on what God is doing right now. We must celebrate how God is saving us every day, creating in us the mind and the will of Jesus. It is a process that we must be willing to partake. It's a journey we must take because, whether you want to hear it or not, there is no other way.
That's right.
I agree. See, God demands change. And we don't like change. God demands change. You don't believe that? I encourage you to go read your Bible of stories of people and circumstances and episodes throughout antiquity, history of antiquity, and see how God required change. He required it. And I learned this in ministry and in myself, I might add, that we so resist change. We so resist it. We fear change worse than we fear the way we are. Most of the time, until our pain outweighs our fear of change, we will remain just like we are. Or you could say, until our pain is greater than the risk of the unknown, we will continue to remain the same. Oh, we're great at saying, oh my goodness, we are great at saying this. We've always done it that way. That's just the way we do it. Don't give me the facts. My mind's made up. My father, he was an angry person and regularly lost his temper. So it's just the way I am. My mother was a worrier and always anxious. So it just runs in the family. My father was a womanizer. I guess I just can't help it. My mother did not know how to show love and affection. I guess I get it from her. I've heard these things from people in ministry. Because we have to come to peace at knowing that every one of us in this room, every one of us, are mentally ill in some way. We are. We all have areas of our life that we must allow God to heal and renew. Can someone actually say that's not true? Can someone stand and testify that, no, I've got it all together, preacher. I got the mind of Christ. I'm good to go. I want to meet you after church. Talk with you for a minute. No, of course not. So are we satisfied with our carnal life and our carnal way of thinking? Do we really want to be the enemy of God? Do we really want to do that? Do we not want to know His perfect will for our lives and to prove and discern what is good and acceptable? Derek Prince, one of my favorite all-time preachers, said this: many Christians don't find the will of God because they are never renewed in their minds. The unrenewed mind cannot discover the will of God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. God does not reveal His secrets to His enemies. But if our minds are changed, then God will begin to show us His secrets, including His plan for our lives and for His church. Did you know that God gives us the tools we need through His Word? That He gives us the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can begin the process of healing and renewing our minds? But we must be willing. The Lord God is not a kidnapper. He will not force His will on any of us. We must be willing to allow the implanted Word to be received. We must not only receive the Word, but be doers of the Word. Allowing God to mold our minds to His will and purpose. And I would add, anyone who is willing to go on this journey, that when that happens to you, I want you to let everybody see it. I want you to be on display and celebrate it. I want you to let people see God changing you. It is our duty as a saint of God to do His Word, to do as His Word commands, that we present ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice. But it is truly up to us. Did you know that it is possible for the Lord to quiet your mind and make it be still? Have you ever tried that? It is probably one of the most difficult tasks you will ever endeavor to do. It is possible, though. How do I know this? Because it has happened to me. And it's not easy. It was a process, and I failed, 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 and I failed. Till at some point, it was like Jesus realized I was serious. And then it happened. And so, even though as bad as I can be, I may have to work at it, but I know how to get back there. It's like riding a bicycle. Once you've learned to ride it, you know what to do. And I've had people laugh in my face and have told me this. When I've told them this, they just laugh in my face. So either they're calling me a liar or maybe that I'm crazy. And I may be crazy, but it's true. And it's such a beautiful place to be. For the presence of God is not going to share space. It is Him or nothing. And only in a quiet and stilled mind can He manifest Himself in the most wondrous and beautiful way that you have ever experienced. It is the place where the Lord does His best work on us and in us. And it is the beginning of the journey. You have not arrived at anything. It's literally the beginning. You just started. So we say to ourselves, well, how do we begin this process of allowing God to renew our minds? Those that are willing to celebrate their sanctification, well, I believe there must be two things. I believe, first off, there must be a recognition of our need. And the second is repentance. So the recognition of our need, and I truly believe that pride is probably our biggest obstacle. And sometimes we have to go to some pretty low places in our lives before we recognize the need. We've got to come there first. Just like the prodigal son, there will come a point where we will come to ourselves that we need help and that we need change. I'm going to read a couple of verses in that story, the prodigal son. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? Think of this. When the son thought about the father, he thought about his father's provisions. That was the first thing he thought of. And God has given us the provisions we need for this process. God will be patient, loving, and merciful, and even kind to us in this process. He's not going to condemn us. He's on our side. Jesus did not come to patch us up. Jesus said, I come to make all things new. And if we recognize our need, He is willing. The second thing is repentance, which literally means to think differently, a changing of the mind. Derek Prince again says, I have come to the conclusion that if people would really apply the New Testament teaching of repentance, half the counseling problems we have in our church would cease immediately. Half, he thinks, would cease immediately. In Mark 6, when Jesus sends out the 12, he's sending out the 12 disciples. I got to get turned. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Notice how repentance precedes deliverance and healing. When we go to God in repentance and confess to Him, we are agreeing with God. We are thinking like God about the matter. We are assessing the situation as God would assess it. And we are bringing the problem to Him. We are going to God and agreeing with Him about what needs to change. And once we repent to God, then deliverance and healing can begin. Repentance is not changing your direction or your actions. It's not even a change of behavior. Repentance is not acting differently, but it is thinking differently. Look at this section in Luke again. Look at the prodigal son section. I'm going to read a little more this time. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. This again shows us what true repentance is. In verse 17, he comes to himself. He comes to his senses. He said, I will arise and go to my father. He repented in verse 17, but beloved, in verse 18, he's still in the pig pen. He's still there. His directions and actions had not changed, yet even though he had repented, that tells us that until we change our mind, that our direction will never change. Many Christians will try to live differently before they try to think differently. And I will argue that that is backwards. And it will lead to a frustrating and defeated walk with Christ. So are we willing to surrender our minds to Christ? Are we willing to celebrate our sanctification? Are we willing to even change? Are we willing to use every provision and possession that our Heavenly Father has to begin this journey and to use and use in the process of renewing our minds? Do we even recognize that we have a need? And we go to Him in repentance, so that we may be delivered and healed and refreshed and renewed. So I'm going to leave you with one more quote. A quote from a man named Steve Brown in his book, Born Free. It's a quote to encourage us in this process. this journey to renew our way of thinking so that we will prove what is good and acceptable and what is the perfect will of God for our lives. Listen to what Steve says. We have let neurotic Christians and angry pagans define repentance for us. Do you have a besetting sin? I have a number of them. But the real problem with those sins is not that God hasn't forgiven them. The problem is we become so embarrassed that we don't go to God in repentance anymore. We say, I have confessed this sin and behavior so many times, he must be getting tired of it. I haven't changed, and I don't see any prospect for change. I just can't confess it anymore. God will know that I am insincere. So, we turn away from God. And I am convinced this is why so many have left the faith. They couldn't measure up. So they just quit trying. Of course you don't measure up. Of course you don't measure up. But don't stop going to God with a heart of repentance. Without that, there's nothing. Agreeing with God is key to everything. It prevents you from being judgmental of others, and it opens the gate to escape from your prison, and is the method whereby, no matter how slowly it happens, we change. No matter how slowly it happens, we change. Recognizing our need, going to God in repentance. No matter how slowly it happens, we change. We change the way we think. We change how we think of ourselves. We change how we see others. We change how we view His church. We change. So may you join me in this process, in this journey to be a celebration of our sanctification, so that we may be presented to God as a living, as a holy and living sacrifice for His will and His purpose. In Jesus' holy name. We're going to take just a few minutes and invite the Lord to come. Mom, I think Alicia's going to play for me. She is. I know it. Alicia, would you come and play one more? And just give the Lord a few minutes. You can wait 3 more minutes. If that burnt ring on the crock pot ain't going to matter a whole lot. Would you play for me?